Nope. We don't need to speed up the process. We don't need to nuke this. You know why? Because this is the non-microwave truth.
I am CL Whiteside, and this is brought to you by Time of Grace Ministry. I just wanted to start off today by saying I hope you feel blessed. And even if you don't feel blessed, I hope you know that you are blessed, because that's the truth. That's a non-microwave truth right there. So just meditate and think about that a little bit and praise God for that. Our first world problem question today. When preparing for this episode, we're going to talk a lot about who is a vessel for God and how are you a vessel for God. And this made me think about one of Jesus's disciples, one of the 12 disciples. Y'all know Judas Iscariot, Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. And I don't know why my mind went here, but I just thought, like, how many people were brought to faith through the message or maybe through the actions of Judas? And not like Judas was the savior or anything, but Judas was one of the 12. And when getting ready for this episode, reading some of the stuff, it's like, all right, Judas did this. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples, Judas is one of 12, to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So that would include Judas in there, right? Or how about Matthew chapter 7, verse 22? This made me think of Judas, and I don't know why. This is not biblical at all, but I always picture Judas being one of the most dynamic speakers. Because when you think about it, when Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me, most of the disciples are like, who is he talking about? No one was like, it's definitely Judas. He's talking about Judas, because he blended in just like the other disciples. Like, he looked just like them. He sound just like them for the most part. The things that came out of his mouth, they really couldn't tell. They really couldn't see his heart like Jesus could. So a lot of times I'm guessing he did things in Jesus' name. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 tells us, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And I was like, that could be talking about Judas right there, doing things in Jesus' name, but not really being a believer in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. But I want to hear from you. How many people do you think God allowed to hear messages and to have different actions taken from Judas that provided faith? Because we know the Holy Spirit, he can use any and everything. He can use any and everything to bring people to faith. And it's like, how many people do you think he used with Judas? Like, how many people do you think he did? I want to hear from you. Instagram or Twitter. My handle is ChampionLife23. And this is our first world problem. It is dinner time. The title of our episode is Don't Forget You Are a Vessel for God. And just, I want you to think about this right now. I'm talking to you. Yes, you. You are a vessel for God. And sometimes people are like, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not in ministry. I'm not a call worker. So what? You are a vessel for God. It doesn't matter if you're a mechanic, a stay-at-home mom or dad, a nurse, you in insurance, you got your own business, you stay at home and you work. You are still a vessel for God. And anyone that is a follower of Christ is a vessel for God. And anyone that God chooses. And the reason I say that anyone that God chooses is because at times God chooses some interesting vessels to deliver grace and mercy and bring glory to his kingdom. So I think about the time he used a donkey. Yes, he used an animal, a donkey. I know some of you are like, oh, my dog. I love my dog. He uses my animal. Maybe he does, but that's not what I'm talking about. But I want you to look at Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22, verse 21 through 39. This was God demonstrating grace and mercy through a donkey. And if you're not familiar with that story, that is when a man by the name of Balaam was traveling on a road on his donkey. And the donkey veered off the road. The donkey made him get a little injury. The donkey lay down and he is heated and he is ticked and he starts beating the donkey. And God allows the donkey to talk to him. He allows the donkey to talk to him and say, hey, the reason that I veered off the road, the reason that I laid down, the reason that I did this is because there's an angel on the road that would have killed you. And he like, have I ever done some crazy stuff like this? And then God opens Balaam's eyes to see that angel. But he allows this donkey to demonstrate grace and mercy and be a vessel to expand his kingdom. Whoa, look at that. A donkey? Yes. So what does that mean? You know he can use you. You know he can use me. But at times we play this trick in our mind, and I definitely do this too, where I was like, man, I'm not really equipped. I don't deserve to do this. I'm not good enough. Like, we start thinking like, my past is too wild. I done some bad things. I don't want people to know about that. And it's like, it's not about us in that regard. It's about God. And I just wanted to give you a few examples of people in the Bible that God has used to serve as a vessel, to serve in expanding his king, sometimes to serve in preaching his word, or even writing down his word or books of the Bible. Think about Moses. Moses was a murderer. Moses is also interesting because when Moses was his time, Moses was like, yeah, I don't talk too well. How many times do we say that? Like, yeah, I don't talk too well. I don't know what to say. God still used Moses as a vessel. Or how about King David? Cheater, murderer, he still used him. He wrote some of the Psalms. He wrote some things in the Bible. Like, he used King David for that, despite his past. What about Samson? Arrogant. How many times have you been arrogant? How many times have I been arrogant? He still used Samson to be a vessel. And Samson is one of those coming like some of y'all out here picking some bad boo things. Y'all got to do better. I know Valentine's Day might have been a little lonely and stuff, but you got to pick better booze and don't be arrogant in that way. But God still can use you. You are still a vessel. Or how about Sarah? Sometimes people get to certain ages and like, I'm just too old. I'm too old, baby. The Lord can't use me anymore. Oh, yes, he can. God loves to use those, especially that the world sometimes look at like, that's so unlikely. Nope, that it couldn't come from him. God loves to do that. He loves to make the things that we think are wise seem like foolish, and the things that are foolish seem wise. And a great example I thought about was John chapter 4, when Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. God used her as a vessel for his kingdom. And if you think about that, the time of day that Jesus went, I believe it's around noon. That's around 12 o'clock. This woman was at the well. And just right there is like, why is this woman? This is probably the heat of the day. This woman is there. And this is not the time that people back in the day go to the well. They usually want to go when it's a little cooler. They don't want the sun beaming on them. Maybe they have some bald heads or something like that. But yes, they don't want to be in that time. And Jesus used her as a vessel when he started explaining to her life. And look at John chapter 4. It's titled Many Samaritans Believe. And this is just reflecting on like how good Jesus is. Like how good Jesus is, it made and compelled her to tell some people that most likely were treating her wrong. Most likely were talking about her. Most likely like, ooh, I got the tea to tell you about. Let's just call her Samaria. That's not her name, but I got the tea to tell you about that. You know, she got another man. Ooh, best believe. Let me tell you about that. So people that probably were talking about her, could you think about it? She's by herself at a weird time of the day. Like, why didn't you go when everybody else was at the well? She went at a different time. All right. Look at what this says. This is John chapter 4, verse 28. It says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. So you think about this. She was already surprised, and everybody's surprised that she talked to Jesus. And these are probably people that really didn't even mess with her, people that really didn't even rock with her. But she was so compelled because of Jesus' love, Jesus' grace, and Jesus' mercy to go share the good news with them. Verse 39 says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of that woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Now, I want to stop right there. You have a testimony. You have a testimony. You personally have a testimony. Sometimes we think that testimony always needs to be super interesting, or we start comparing to somebody else like, man, they are a really good storyteller. No, your testimony is your testimony, and God can use your testimony to bring glory to his kingdom. So just remember that it's yours. Just be you. Just tell the truth with it and make sure that you give God the glory and share your testimony. Verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. Like that's a vessel right there. That is an unlikely vessel. A woman who seemed to be getting around, a woman who really didn't seem to have a lot of friends or have people that were looking out for her, God used her as a vessel. Like, that's amazing. God can use you as a vessel. God absolutely wants to use you as a vessel. And I just want you to think about how I made that point earlier about God takes the things of this world that are wise and makes them look foolish, and he takes the things that are foolish and makes them wise. Think about even how he brought Jesus into this world. Like, he didn't bring Jesus into the world with royalty and being with one of the greatest kings or greatest nations. No, he brought Jesus into the world born in a manger. You get that? A manger. That's where like animals eat stuff out of. Brought him in a manger. I should say laid in a manger, but y'all know what I mean. He laid in a manger. From a born into a carpenter family. And then you think about all the disciples he called. A lot of them were fishermen. They were common folks. Common folks. Tax collectors. Like, that's what Jesus did. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 tells us this, especially when we start thinking about our past and we start thinking like, my past is too bad. My past is too wild. God can't use me as a vessel. This passage reminds us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. That is because Jesus Christ's death on the cross and Jesus renewing us. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 tells us that. It absolutely tells us that. Now, I want you to get in mind. I want you to get in mind someone that you think is really, really good at sharing God's word. Get that person in mind. Someone who's really, really good at reminding you about God's love. Get that person in mind. Now, realize this. You don't have to be them. You do not have to be that person. You got to realize that God wants to use you. And God can use you for some missions, for some plans, for some paths that no one else can dare take that path, because you have a special and unique purpose. Special and unique purpose. So just think about that and remember that. And I want you to think about 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 29, what it tells us. And this is what I've been getting at with like what God makes foolish and what makes wise. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So that's just telling us like God is going to take things that sometimes seem so unlikely to us to be a vessel, to bring glory to him. And a lot of us are unwilling to be the vessel, even though God tells us clearly, like, you are the light. Look at Matthew chapter 5, 14. He tells us, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, this is verse 16, I'm jumping. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And on this episode of Don't Forget, You Are a Vessel, you got to realize this. God still will use you, even though you might be unwilling, even though you might have had some unfortunate things happen in your life. It's like you might as well be willing, because all you're going to do is cost yourself some time. All you're going to do is cost yourself a headache. All you're going to do is create some unfortunate things to happen in your life. And I think about an unwilling man that God used as a vessel. Brother Jonah in the book of Jonah. I encourage you, if you get some time, just read that book, the book of Jonah. Now, you think about Jonah. This was a man who was supposed to be a man of God. But he was like, no, I'm not going to go talk to these people. Even though God said, I want you to go talk to the Ninevites. He's like, Lord, I don't want to do that. So what did Jonah do? Jonah tried to go like the opposite way. He hopped on a boat. What happened on there? Caused a huge storm. Had to get thrown off the boat, off the ship, get swallowed by a huge fish. Spends a few nights in the fish's belly. Think about that. He was so unwilling that he went the opposite way. And then they like, why is this storm here? And they like, oh, but it's because of me. It's because of me. I'm supposed to go here, but I didn't do it. Oh, bro, we got to get rid of you. No, actually, they didn't want to get rid of him. He's like, well, you got to get rid of me. Just throw me off. I deserve to die. They throw him off the ship. That's an unwilling man. He just cost himself a lot of time. And he still ended up doing what God wanted him to do. And what's super interesting to me is let's look at what Jonah did. Look at what Jonah did. Jonah made in his mind like, I don't want to go talk to these people because they might be horrible, or, you know, they really might not show signs of change. And that's some of the excuses sometimes that we make, like, this person's not even going to change. Why would I waste my breath on them? Jonah was like, I don't want to speak to these people because they might actually change. Jonah chapter 3, verse 4 says this. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. Like, that wasn't some prolific, outstanding sermon or message where people like, ooh, I got the chills. That brother was preaching. He was preaching. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. How many times we like, man, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know what this person's going to think. I don't know what someone's going to take. It's like, you know the truth, though. You know the basics. You know that Jesus is God. You know that Jesus is your Savior. You know that Jesus loves people. You know that Jesus is a forgiving God. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You can finish it. Like, you know that much. You know the basics. And sometimes that is enough because the Spirit is that good. The Spirit is enough. Now, one thing that I have to admit that is unique and cool about Jonah, though, is that he knew that God was that good and he knew that these people could change. Like, that was the reason he really didn't want to go, because he was so annoyed and irritated by the people. He's like, I don't even want to go because I know how gracious and merciful and awesome you are. But what is your excuse for saying, like, I don't want to be a vessel? And these are just a couple passages to remind you about God. A couple passages to remind you about God. John chapter 14, verse 26. And this is how Jesus encouraged his disciples. He said, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, what can teach us? Being in God's word ourselves. We have the Bible to read. We have pastors who want to teach the truth. That's something that we have. What about 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7? It tells us, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You have the Spirit of God. So you don't need to be timid. You got the power. You got the love to be a vessel for God. You absolutely have that to be a vessel for God. And on this episode of Don't Forget You Are a Vessel, I'm going to wrap this up by just looking at Brother Paul. Paul has such a great perspective on how to view this. And this comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 10. And just think about this. Who gives faith? Okay. Who makes faith grow? God. Who does God allow to plant the seeds, though? That's you and me. God makes us so valuable, but he doesn't make us God. And sometimes we think that it's all on us and the responsibility is all on us. It's not. The Holy Spirit is the one who does it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 10 says this. This is Paul speaking. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Who made it grow? God. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. And I just wanted to point out that each one will be rewarded according to their own labor. And at the end of the day, God is going to use you anyway, so you might as well make it easy on yourself, because God is going to use you as a vessel. So love that. Embrace that. Praise God. Honor God. Love God for the fact that the vessels that he has put in your life to make sure that you are having your seeds watered. And we praise God for the Holy Spirit who makes our faith grow. And we know that faith comes from hearing the message. So let's share the message. And this is the Non-Microwave Truth. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Don't Forget, You Are a Vessel for God. You are a vessel for God. Peace, punch, Captain Crunch. Say no to drugs and yes to Jesus. I am out.